Good morning, everyone. Some time ago at Aberfoyle Church, I was talking with Kevin John, who David will know, but you probably don't. And I was saying that I'd hardly, well, ever read the book of Leviticus. So he said to me, well, let's make a challenge. We'll agree to read it, a chapter for the next day, a chapter a day for a while, and then we'll come back and we'll have a chat about it, about what we gleaned from it. And that was the trigger to what I want to share with you today, things I gleaned from Leviticus. And I found three things from Leviticus. You know what this is? CCs, that's right, CCs. Original C, I assume CC stands for corn chips, I'm not sure. Yeah, okay. Well, there's two C's that are in there, two CCs, but from the book of Leviticus, and what I want to share with you today, I have three C's, CCCs, to share with you this morning. I'll just leave them there. Leviticus tells us of the events at Mount Sinai after the children of Israel were led out of Egypt across the Red Sea, and where they received the Ten Commandments, also where they fell into worshipping a golden calf. But I just want to recap a bit of history before they get to there. We remember Jacob was, he brought his family down to Egypt after Joseph had gone there earlier, and Jacob, who was renamed Israel, led his family through Joseph being there because of the famine in Israel to Egypt. And years later they had multiplied to such an extent that the Egyptian people feared that they would take over them, so they made them work as slaves. That was until God called them out from their first, by first recalling Moses back to Egypt from his self-exile in Egypt. And then through Moses, he used Moses to call his people out of slavery in Egypt to the promised land flowing with milk and honey. So my first C is called. After years of being debased and badly treated by their Egyptian overlords, the people didn't feel capable or even able or willing to make the effort to leave Egypt. But when God calls and his people respond, which they eventually did, he provided the plagues to so that Pharaoh would let them go originally, and a pathway through the waters of the Red Sea, and then the manna and the water on their journey through the wilderness. When God called the Israelite people and they responded by trusting him to lead them out of the slavery in Egypt, they became what I called a called people. They were called of God. I wonder, have you been called by God? Have you, or can you, look back to a time in your life when you heard God calling you in some way? Perhaps firstly out of the slavery of bad habits, selfishness, or the addiction of things of this world or the things that this world offers but leave us disillusioned and unfulfilled. Or maybe you have already responded to that first call out of slavery and have more recently been called, or maybe you're being called right now to another area on your journey with God. I mean, that could be perhaps to a mission field, or to work in the op shop, or the bread run, or get involved in a school ministry, or maybe be a home group leader, but some area of service Is God calling you now to something a bit different in your life in some way, another step to take where he leads? When we hear God's call and respond with a, yes, Lord, I want to go where you're leading, we can be assured that the one who calls will enable us to go and do where and what he leads. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, the one who calls you is faithful and he will do it, as he demonstrated with the people of Israel. Could it be that we're being called as a people here at Hallett Cove Baptist Church to step into another area of life? Is God speaking to us in some way that we should do something a little bit different and take a chance with him and move on to something else in our life? So my first C is called, being called. So let's go back to Leviticus again. The Israel nation that had been called from being a downtrodden people of slaves to a nation of pilgrims being led to the promised land, to a land of freedom by a holy, righteous, powerful, all-knowing, all-providing God. There was a problem there though, because as they journeyed with God, or as God journeyed with them, they became more and more aware of their own sinfulness as God led them and God dealt with them. Their sinfulness and their unworthiness became more and more apparent to them. We got a little glimpse of that back in Numbers, where Numbers is still talking about... back in Exodus, where they were at Mount Sinai, and Moses had just received the Ten Commandments, if I can find it here. And while Moses was up the mountain, there was thunder and lightning, and the people, when the people saw the thunder and lightning and heard the trumpet and saw the mountain in smoke, they trembled with fear. They stayed at a distance and said to Moses, "Speak to us yourself and we will listen, but do not have God speak to us or we will die." Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. God has come to test you so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning." The people remained at a distance while Moses approached the thick darkness where God was. So we see there that perhaps inevitably, as those people came close to God and God's holiness, they became so aware that they'd fallen so far short of him and what he would expect of them. But God had a plan. He had a way of forgiving them, a way of dealing with their guilt, and a way of making them, my second C, a cleansed people. In the earlier chapters of Leviticus, we read a whole series of offerings that they were to make. God had given them provision to make offerings. There was more than three, but I'll mention three. There was a burnt offering when a bull or a ram or a male bird was to be offered, and there was strict details of how all these animals were to be offered on the altar. And as Leviticus 1 and chapter 1 verse 4 says, the burnt offering was to make atonement with God. And I love the expression of atonement as at-one-ment with God. So they made this burnt offering, offered the burnt offering, that they become at one with God, at atonement. There was a sin offering, and different people in the nation were to offer different things. For the priest, that had become aware of sin, they were to offer a bull. A leader was to offer a male goat. Just the common person was to offer female goat or lamb. poor people were to offer a dove or a pigeon, and for the very poor, fine flour. And this was for forgiveness for their sin. So God had made a provision for each part of the community, each level of the community, if we like. He had made a provision for their sin so that they could be with him. And there was also a guilt offering, a ram or a lamb. And in chapter 6 and verse 17 of Leviticus, we read, in this way, when they offered the ram or a lamb, and again, there was a very detailed way that they had to offer and present the ram or lamb. In this way, we read, the priest will make atonement for him before the Lord, and he will be forgiven for any of these things that make him guilty. So this called people were able to become a cleansed people because of the offerings that God had provided that they could offer and bring him back, bring them back into fellowship with him instead of being afraid of him. When we're called by a holy, righteous and all-knowing, all-powerful God, and whether it be a first-time call or a subsequent call to some particular mission that he's calling us to, we too will inevitably feel our unworthiness and our guilt for falling so far short of his nature. God is holy and pure and above anything that we are. And as we journey with him, we will inevitably feel guilty. We'll inevitably feel some shame because we don't measure up to what he wants for us. But as we know, God has a plan for us too, a plan to deal with our guilt and our shame, a plan to enable us to have that close fellowship with him again, to walk with him and talk with him, to be led by him and to listen to him and be comfortable in his presence. I think it's a wonderful thing that we can be comfortable in the presence of a holy and a mighty God, but we can only be comfortable with him through the plan that he has for us. And involved another lamb, this time the Lamb of God, Jesus. Jesus, God's own son, came to earth as a perfect man to die on the cross, as we've celebrated and be reminded this morning. The guilty being blessed by the death of the innocent. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. So that we can become, like the Israelites, a called and a cleansed people. But there's another C. We go back to Leviticus and around about chapter 20. And what struck me was a whole group of verses and phrases that were saying the same thing over three chapters. Leviticus 20 and verse 7. God is saying to the people, consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am the Lord your God. Keep my decrees and follow them. I am the Lord who makes you holy. And then again in verse 26 of chapter 20, you are to be holy to me, because I, the Lord, am holy, and I have set you apart from the nations to be my own. Chapter 21 and verse 15, I am the Lord who makes you holy. And again in verse 23 of 21, I am the Lord who makes you holy. Chapter 22, verse 9, I am the Lord who makes you holy. And again in verse 16 of 22, I am the Lord who makes you holy. this kept coming up, and I kept reading this as I went through. Verse 22, 31, keep my commands and follow them. I am the Lord. Do not profane my holy name. I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who makes you holy and who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. So it was this phrase that just kept coming up all the time. I am the Lord who makes you holy. So what's my third C? Similar, yes. What was that one? Consecrated. But I had a much more simple word. I just had changed. We're a changed people. He makes us a changed people. God had a big plan for this nation that he'd led out of slavery. They were to be a living demonstration to the nations they were going to be living amongst. A demonstration of God's attributes and of how he wants men to live, and to do this, of course, they needed to be changed from who they were. They weren't a holy people by any means. And they had no way of being a holy people by themselves, a separate people, a people that God could be pleased with and could demonstrate him to those around about us. But God says to them, just as I've called you out of slavery and provided you with a means to go, and just as I've provided you with a system of offerings to deal with your sense of unworthiness in my presence, now he's saying to them, so I am the means of changing your lives so that you can truly represent me. I think it's amazing. I am the Lord who makes you holy. Today, God has a huge plan for all his called and cleansed people. That's hopefully you and I. By our words, by our expressions, by the way we live our lives, we are to be representatives of our holy God, demonstrating him to those around about us. But like the children of Israel, we can't truly represent him without change in our lives. And we can't change that our lives of ourselves. All our New Year's resolutions, all our good intentions will fall short if we're doing them in our own strength. It's only when we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives that we are changed and made holy. It is God's work in our lives as it was to call us and as it was to cleanse us. It's God working in our lives that brings us to that state where we too become holy. I read a quote from a J. McPherson. He said, sanctification is the process of being made holy, where you give God every part of your heart and you let him clean it up and take out the trash. We're being made holy by God. We let him cleanse our hearts. We let him change us and take out the trash from our hearts. I read the story of a man walking through a beautiful church in Europe with his 5-year-old son. The church was filled with bright light from the many stained glass windows in the building. And the lad said to his father, who are all the people in the windows, Daddy? They are saints, he replied. And the little fella said, what are saints? And as the father was thinking of an appropriate reply, suddenly the little fellow yelled out, I know what saints are. What a saint is, Daddy. They are people the light shines through, as it was shining through the stained glass windows. When God shines his light on us and we allow him, let him deal with the unholy bits that the light reveals, he makes us holy, he changes us, and he shines through us. But if we choose to hang on to something that his light reveals in our life and not let him deal with it, then we compromise and distort how others understand God. It has been said, the saving of a sinner is the work of a moment, but the making of a saint is the work of a lifetime. And through our lives, God continually wants to change us and make us holy. Hebrews 10:14 says, by one sacrifice he, that is Jesus, by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made perfect. Seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? By his one sacrifice, he has made us perfect in God's eyes forever, because God looks at us through the filter of the shed blood on the cross as we believe and trust in that. But there's an ongoing work in our lives where we are being made perfect still. I kind of compared it a bit to a football team. The football team is picked and they're there for that game. No matter what happens, they're going to be that team in that day. But the coach watches over them and he's still trying to improve them each part of the game by words of advice, by things that they could do a little bit better. Well, we're kind of like that. You know, as we trust Jesus, we are made perfect forever in God's sight. That's not in doubt. But we know, we don't have to be all that honest to know that even when we've accepted Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, there are things remaining in our lives that are not as good as what God would want them to be. But he has said he's the coach and he is going to take us along that way and make us holy, change us. Our effectiveness in our Lord's team depends on our willingness to be changed by the Lord who makes you holy. God the Father calls us, God the Son cleans us, God the Holy Spirit changes us, and it's all through his working as we look to him and trust in him each step of the way. In the book of Peter, in Peter's epistle, he speaks about us being cleansed like the way gold is refined. Gold is refined when I think they put acids and all sorts of things in it and boil it up, and the impurities rise to the top and that's skimmed off. Well, there's an ongoing work in our lives where God is, he's testing us, he's putting acid on our life, he's leading us in all different situations and bringing us to different people in our lives where he's changing us. And so I hope you can share in some of this morning. I will take it out there and leave it for lunch. And I hope you can share in some CCs. But above that, and over and above that, I hope you can experience and the three CCs of being called by God, of being cleansed by God, and being changed by God in our daily walk. May that be real to all of us.